And Michael's got his shoes back on again. That's great. So I'd love to start this morning by watching a wee video clip from an Alpha talk called How Does God Guide Us? Many of you may well have been on Alpha course before, some of you may not. Really good quality material. And this morning we're thinking about, as part of this series on Living Word, about Jesus speaking to us. And there's a great video, if you ever want to watch it online, about how does God guide us. And here's the wee introduction to that video. Thank you.
My go-to for guidance. I've got a good boss who I can get career advice from.
When I need guidance, I go to somebody I love and trust.
Because I don't know all the options, so yeah, it's always good to go somewhere else.
I don't think I have anybody like right now that I get guidance from.
You have to look for it within yourself, but if you're looking for it in other people, you will never learn on your own.
I seek counsel with my friends.
If it's something that I really want to do, then if there is more cons than pros, I'll still do it anyway.
Somebody who knows more than me.
Particularly my dad when it comes to girls.
Probably my dad, but I don't always take everything he says.
Choices. In the average US supermarket, there are 48,750 items to choose from.
And we all need guidance because we're all faced with decisions about what we do with our lives, our work, our life partners, where we live, our money, as well as the day-to-day decisions that we face.
Now, choice is a good thing, but it doesn't make the decisions any easier. So, does it matter? Is it all just random, or is there really some purpose to your life?
It's been said that the two greatest days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. St. Paul writes, "For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." God created you. Your life does have a purpose. You're not an accident. Your life has significance. God has a specific, unique destiny for you, and your life can make a difference.
Sometimes this thought worries people that they might somehow mess things up and miss out on God's purpose, but that isn't the case. God's purpose for our lives is bigger than our mistakes. And in my own life, I've made lots of mistakes. There have been times when I've deliberately ignored God, times when I thought I'd just do my own thing because I thought that I knew best and I thought that I was strong enough to handle everything by myself. Ultimately, that ended up with me getting really hurt. So I was in a long-term relationship, which ended in a really painful breakup. And looking back now, I absolutely know that that relationship wasn't right for me, but I chose to ignore God. I felt so lost, but when I refocused on God, I knew that he loved me just as I was, for who I am, and I felt lovable again, and I knew that I wasn't abandoned. Nelson Mandela said, "Don't judge me by my successes. Judge me by how many times I've fallen down and got back up again."
So we have a God who guides us, and he's given us fullness of life in Jesus Christ. And that guidance comes from a relationship with him. Jesus came so we may have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we discover in Jesus Christ that God is good, that he's got a good plan for our lives, and that he wants to tell us what that plan is. He's not going to keep us in the dark about the good things that he wants to see happen in our lives. And if we have a big decision to make, then quite often we seek guidance across a whole array of ways to get guidance. If it's a simple decision, it might just be one way we look for guidance. The primary way, as we've been saying, for years, also saying in recent weeks here, that the Lord guides us about big decisions in our lives is the Bible. And so if we want to know what is God's will for my life, the first place we go to is the Bible. The Holy Spirit has inspired the Bible, lots of different authors, written across many different generations, but all written and guided by the Holy Spirit to help guide us. Like the path that Michael was walking on there, full of pitfalls. As we know, life is full of pitfalls. And the Lord wants us to avoid them. But to avoid them, we need to trust Him and to hear His voice. And the best way we can do that is by being guided by what the Bible says. It saves us so much pain if we read the Bible every day and listen to what God's saying. And that's why, again and again, we advocate, let's read the Bible together, because it means we'll avoid so much pain in our lives and we'll experience so much more fullness of life. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will guide you, this is the Lord speaking, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you on the way that you'll go. So for instance, if someone's married to someone and then thinks, well, actually, I'm thinking about having a relationship with that other someone else over there, I wonder what God's guidance is about this. Well, a Christian doesn't need to think about that for too long, because it's very clear in the Bible, do not commit adultery. And there's all sorts of things in the Bible that just makes it clear. If we feel envious, the Bible says, well, don't be jealous of other people. It also helps us to know that we're to seek to be content, to forgive everybody. We're to live a life of worship and generosity. So there are things that are injunctions and guidance from the Lord for all people in all places. And so the real strength of the Bible is the fact that it gives us the general revelation of what God is saying to all people throughout history. Where the Bible, in terms of reading it, is not so good is in making perhaps decisions concerning, where we might go for dinner that night, or where we might go on holiday. Now, the Lord can very much guide us about everything, and it's amazing when we read the Bible every day as a pattern, how much God speaks to us into our everyday pattern. But if you sort of take a habit of thinking, I wonder where I'm going to go on holiday, and I think I'll open the Bible and find out where I should go, you're going to spend a lot of time in Egypt and the Middle East. So there are other ways the Lord speaks to us and guides us. Ultimately, it is the Holy Spirit who's guiding us. So the Holy Spirit has brought about the writing of Scripture. The Holy Spirit's also the one who speaks to us through Scripture. So someone who is a non-believer, who doesn't have the Holy Spirit within them, can read the Bible for hours and hours each day, and it'll probably do them no good whatsoever. Because ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit who speaks to us through the Scripture. He also speaks to us through prayer. And prayer is a two-way conversation. So we speak to God, and He speaks to us. Now, when I say He speaks to us, quite often, mostly, that is through a thought or an impression or a gut feeling or by presenting something to our minds. But the Holy Spirit can guide us in all sorts of ways. That's what Jesus meant when He said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." So whenever we invite Jesus Christ into our lives, He comes, He sweeps us out, He sweeps away our sin, He gives us a new start, and He comes to take up residence within us so that He can more readily whisper to us, guide us, instruct us. What does it mean to live a full and free life? And so it's the Spirit who's guiding us. That's why Jesus came, to lead us into all truth and to lead us into the abundance of life. One of the examples of this in the New Testament is Acts chapter 13, the first few verses. And the church are meeting in Antioch, and some of the leaders of the church gather together, and they're worshiping, and they're fasting, and they're praying, and they're wondering, Lord, what do you want us to do as church? The church in Antioch was a really thriving church, and they want to know, Lord, what is it you want us to be doing? And so Acts chapter 13 says, among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work that I've called them to. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So that's how the first missionary journey of Paul came about. Instrumental in the life of the church. We're here today as a large part of that prayer meeting in that room in Antioch. And this happened probably about 15 years after Pentecost. Sometimes we read the Acts of the Apostles and think that everything happened within 2 weeks. But actually, this is decades of listening to the Lord. And so the church had built up over the course of 15 years. It was spreading throughout the world. It had really taken root in Antioch. It was a really powerful, thriving church. The Holy Spirit was powerfully at work. The leaders who were prophets and teachers were gathering together. They spent time worshiping and praying and fasting. They were seriously trying to hear the voice of God. And they sensed that they heard the voice of God. I doubt very much they heard it with their physical ears, but they sensed by a gut feeling or a thought, hey, we think the Lord is saying to two of us in this room, Barnabas and Paul, that you're to go on a missionary journey. This was a dangerous thing to do. It was a big deal. And so they fasted and prayed more about it. It wasn't that Paul and Barnabas just quickly packed their bags and said, we're catching the train out of here in 45 minutes. What happened was, for the weeks ahead, they listened and worshipped and fasted and prayed more to make sure that this big decision was the right decision. And when they came to that conclusion, they laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas after weeks of consideration, and they sent them off. And in listening to the voice of the Lord and knowing his will, quite often we have to be patient. We have to listen carefully. And sometimes we need to spend a time in concerted worship and prayer and fasting if we want to know exactly what is it the Lord wants to do in our situation, in our lives, and in the church. Whenever we're listening to the voice of the Spirit, it's important to have a couple of sort of guardrails in mind. Because the danger of just sort of saying, I wonder what the Spirit's saying to me, is that we may well come up with something which is just not of the Spirit and is off the wall. So one of the reasons why we study Scripture together in life groups, because community is a place of safety when you're reading the Bible and seeking to hear the voice of the Lord, so that we can say to each other, yeah, I think the Lord is saying that. And some of the questions that we ask ourselves when listening to the guidance of the Spirit is this in line with the Bible? So those Christians in Antioch may well have said, well, we know that Jesus wants the word of God to go out to all nations, so this seems to be in line with what Jesus would say to us by his Spirit. Another question to ask is, does it promote love? They say, well, yeah, we want the word of God to go to the Gentiles. We want them to know about God's love for them and Jesus. So this seems to be something that promotes love. And also as well, in making this decision, are we starting to feel a sense of peace? That's an important aspect of making godly decisions. Are we starting to feel a sense of peace? If we start to imagine going down this road, then do you have a sense of peace about this? So there are some things to think about whenever seeking guidance by the Spirit. The Lord also gives us a strong desire by the Spirit living in us to do something. And so Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for God is working in you, he says to the church in Philippi, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So when God calls us to do something, and he's calling us all to a unique purpose, each of us have a unique calling. When the Lord calls us to do it, he also gives us a passion to do it. Now, it could be that the thought of it terrifies us. But he'll also give us courage, and he'll give us a sense of, yeah, I really want to be involved with this. I know when God called me to come to lead Bangor Parish, I was terrified. But I felt the Lord saying to me and to us as a family, yeah, this is what I want you to do. We don't leave our common sense behind whenever we're seeking to know and do the will of God. So yes, we read the Bible. Yes, we pray and spend time in silence listening to God. We maybe write things down in a prayer journal. I find it really helpful to write the prayers down that I pray to the Lord in the morning, and also to write down what I believe he's saying to me, particularly through the Bible. And that could be a really helpful way to listen to the guidance of the Spirit. We're also required not to put our common sense to the side, but to think for ourselves. So when we become a Christian, we don't just disconnect our brains and think, well, God's going to guide me. I don't have to use my noggin anymore. We're given good old common sense, and we're to use good old common sense in our decisions. John Wesley said that God usually guided him by putting in his mind practical reasons why a decision was going to be a helpful one and a useful one, ones that just made good common sense. And so if we're making a big decision in our lives, like who to ask to marry, or who do you accept to say, yes, I will marry you, or perhaps a job or moving house, then we want to listen to God for in lots and lots of different ways. And we want to take some time in making that decision. So in terms of marriage, we want to make sure that we're marrying someone who shares our Christian faith and who is has the same common values as us, so that they're spiritually compatible with us. Also personally compatible. Do we get on well? Do we have a good laugh together? Do we enjoy each other's company? And also as well, are we physically compatible? Is there chemistry? Are we attracted to each other? If this is the case, if God's calling us to marry that person, if he calls us into marriage, then I imagine that all three of those things are going to be there. Also as well, it's really good sometimes to seek advice from other people. One of the main things that the book of Proverbs, which is all about wisdom, says again and again is that wise people seek advice. All of us have different temperaments. So some of us have the temperaments. We saw that in the wee Vox Pop video at the start. Some people just go, well, I just fly by the seat of my pants. I just go with what I feel in the spur of the moment, and hey, we'll just see how it goes. And you may be married to someone like that. You may be a person who goes, I like to really seek advice and really take my time. I like to write a pros and cons list. I like to go through it all in fine detail. Again, you may have a friend or be married or something like that. And sometimes God puts us with someone who is the polar opposite of us for that reason. So no matter what way the Lord guides us, he guides us in a way that it can be enhanced by listening to other people and seeking their advice. It could be a mature Christian, and one of the great benefits of being part of a church family is we can go to someone and say, look, can I have a confidential conversation with me? Could you give me a bit of advice? What do you think about this decision I have to make? I found that really helpful over the years, to go to an older, wiser Christian and say, look, I'm thinking about this decision. What do you think? So Lord is keen to guide us in those big decisions. It could be through people who are older than wiser than us. It could be through parents or siblings. It could be through friends. People who know us well, it's good to go to for advice. It's also good in a big decision to speak to someone who we're confident will not tell us what we want to hear. If we purposely seek out advisors who we think they'll tell us what we want to hear, then they'll not really challenge us. In the big decision, it's good to go to someone who we know has the courage to really tell us as it is. And it's a really wonderful gift to be in a friendship or a marriage relationship with someone who loves you enough to tell you the truth, warts and all, because they love you. The thing is, though, even when we get a guidance from other people, ultimately the decision is ours. So sometimes our temperament is just plow on and see how it goes. And sometimes we seek so much advice from other people that we want them to make the decision for us. We're desperate for someone to make the decision for us. But ultimately the Bible says it's our decision to make. We weigh up all the advice, we read the Bible, we pray, we seek advice, we use our common sense, but ultimately we have to make the decision. Is God guiding us to move from our current job, to take on another job? Ultimately, that's our decision. The other thing as well is about watching and waiting. Knowing the fact, as we're singing in our first song today, that God is in control of events. That's what it means that Jesus Christ is Lord. We believe that he is ultimately in charge. And so that's why we pray in his name, because we believe that history is being worked out according to the purposes of God in Jesus Christ, that all things are coming to their ultimate beautiful conclusion in Jesus Christ. Abraham had this faith. So Abraham sends off his most trusted servant, who's shown his mettle, I'm sure, year after year, decade after decade, and he sends them on one of the most important errands that a servant can be sent on, to find a husband, no, find a wife, what's the thing? To find a wife for his son Isaac. And so off the servant goes with camels laden with gifts, and I'm sure he's praying all the time that he goes. And one of the important things is he does what Abraham guides him to do. And so he goes to this foreign land, back to the homeland. He goes to a town. He arrives in the evening. The ladies are coming out as per tradition in the cool of the evening to fill up their water jars. And he sits there. He's arriving. And he says, Lord, guide me. Is one of these women who are coming out to get water, is one of them the future wife of my master's son, Isaac? And so he prays and he has this request. I will ask one of them, he says to the Lord, please give me a drink from your jug. If she says yes, have a drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have selected as Isaac's wife. This is how I will know that you have shown unfailing love to my master. And I love the fact that in the next verse it says, before he had even finished praying, Rebekah was already walking towards him. He was saying, Lord, show me the one. Bring her out. And before he'd even finished praying, Rebekah was walking towards the well. And so he prays a very practical prayer. Show me the one, Lord. And he sort of, in a way, sets the Lord some parameters, because he believes that the best wife for his master's son, Isaac, will be someone who's humble, helpful, and hardworking. And so, as she comes out, the servant says, will you give me a drink? And she's generous, she's kind, she doesn't ignore him and walk on. She gives him a drink. And she also says, hey. She doesn't say hey, but she says, I'll water your camels too. And I'm sure the servant goes, wow, this is looking good. This is my first opportunity to look for a wife, and it's looking really good. And so he sits there. I won't comment on the fact that he's sitting there. He sits there, and he watches Rebecca going back and forwards between the well and the camels. And the impression we get is because of the, it says eventually, at last, when Rebecca had finally watered all the camels. And my sense is this took some time. I don't know whether it was half an hour. I don't know whether it was 45 minutes. I don't know if dusk was coming. It was getting dark by the time this young woman finished bringing all this water to these thirsty camels. But by the time she'd finished, the servant was convinced this could be the one. And so he presented her with a golden nose ring and with golden bracelets. Now, Rebecca may just have thought, this stranger is very, very generous. He's given me gifts that are equivalent to thousands and thousands, if not tens of thousands of pounds in today's money. And so she either thinks that, or she realizes this is the start of my dowry negotiations. And so when the servant says, would there be somewhere to sleep tonight in your father's house? He's saying, can I come to your house and speak to your father? I've just given you gifts, and they're showing you how wealthy my master is. I'm starting negotiations for you to be married to a man you've never met in a foreign country. Can I come to your house with my camels to stay the night? And she says, come on ahead. Wonderful level of faith and trust that Rebecca shows. And the rest is history. The next day, the next morning, Rebecca's family say to her, are you sure you want to go to this foreign land and marry this man you've never met? And Rebecca says, I'm going. And Isaac married Rebecca, and we are spiritual descendants of them both. So the Lord speaks, and the servant said that in that instance, through the circumstances that he saw, and God bringing things together, he said, praise the Lord, the God of my master Abraham. The Lord has shown unfailing love and faithfulness to my master. He has led me straight to my master's relatives. So the Lord can use circumstances, and we can at times say, Lord, please guide me in this certain way. And the Lord does guide us in a certain way. We've got to be careful about doing that type of thing. But the Lord can orchestrate circumstances wonderfully to bring about a clear guidance for our lives. Just to finish, I'd love us to watch another wee video. And you may, it's from the Alpha video, How Does God Guide Us? Because it could be you're here this morning and you're thinking, yeah, I'd love to know the Lord's guidance for my life, but is it too late for me? Have I messed up so badly that it's too late for me to make a fresh start? And the Bible says it's never too late. It's never too late for him to redeem a mess that we've made and to give us a good future. So here's a wee video by a guy called Paul Cowley telling his story.
We can see that God can use our mistakes, and goodness, I've made so many of them. God didn't put me in prison, I did. God didn't make me get two divorces, I did. But he's helped me all the way through it. You know, dysfunctional parents, alcoholics, thrown out when I was 15 through an argument with my father, moved into a squat with a gang, got in trouble with the police, ended up with a prison sentence, came out of there, joined the army at 21, two marriages, two divorces, almost alcoholic, from being bullied at school to joining the army boxing team and being a bully in a uniform. My mother died. I hadn't seen my mum since I was a kid. She got ill. She had cancer. My mum and dad were both heavy smokers and heavy drinkers. A long story short, again, she got put into hospital. I had about 10 days with her and she died. She had a massive sort of tumor and just fell asleep in my arm. And that was a catalyst for me, really, to start thinking about stuff. And that set me on a journey. And then shortly after that, a friend of mine said, "You've got lots of questions. You should probably try an Alpha course." You know, 16 years in the army. I've jumped out of airplanes. I've done rifle courses. I've done military. I've done courses on everything. I'll do a course on God. And I remember just sitting there listening to these talks, and I thought, do you know what? I'd never heard any of this stuff. It was all completely new to me. And I prayed. And my prayer was, if you're up there and all this stuff is true, and you can make me a better man, you can make me a better character, you know, you could make me hopefully a faithful husband, a good father, someone who people would like, then you know what? Let's go for it. And then things started to change. Really weird stuff was going through my head. You know, I thought, I've lived with my girlfriend 8 years. Maybe we should get married. We talked about it, and we got married. Prayed and got my son back in my life, who left when he was 3. He's now 36, living with us. And now I've got a 18-year-old daughter who's gorgeous. I mean, if you'd have told me, you know, a few years ago that I would be a vicar in the Church of England, I'd have said, you're completely crazy. It was the furthest thing from my, it wasn't even in my mind. I still have to pinch myself at times. So I'm working with people now who really I've been around most of my life. A lot of people I can relate to. I work with the homeless, those affected with mental health issues, those in prison, those coming out of prison through a charity called Caring for Ex-Offenders. And I was presented with an MBE for me, which I think is really exciting, for working with ex-offenders. And to be honoured like that is extraordinary. And it's what God says, I have a good and perfect plan for your life. Plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Plan to give you hope and a future. And he says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And that for me is what keeps me going.
Often it's as you look back on your life that you see God has been guiding you. He has a purpose for your life. And as you read the Bible, as you listen to the Spirit, as you talk to friends, as you think and watch, your life has a purpose.
And you'll make a difference, and you'll have a greater impact than you probably ever realise. And one day God will say to you, well done, you've reached your destination.
We're not going to sing a final song because I feel the Lord's guiding me, that the children have spent enough time in ministries. Let's be quiet for a moment. Father, you've said that we should be still and know that you're God. Lord, help us in our lives to make room for space and listening. Lord, we trust the fact that you're good, that you love us, that in Christ that you have become our Father. And Lord, that we are your children and you love to see us thriving. Lord, we offer you ourselves. Lord, forgive us, fill us, and give us the good future you have for us. Lord, guide us in our footsteps and help us to be a blessing to you and other people. Help us to bring a smile to your face. And we know that as we do that, you will bring a smile to ours. And we'll be a blessing to all around us. So Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Guide us through your living word. And Lord, help us to walk in the way of peace. And so may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Opportunity for prayer ministry. And go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ.